Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Bits scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alonzarek Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Happy Friday, getting ready for a three-day weekend. We are excited. I hope everybody has an absolutely outstanding weekend. We're doing another podcast later today. It's a mailbag. It's going to air on Monday on Memorial Day. I'm Adam Azer. I got Scott White now. Melchior with me. You know, it's really terrific because we don't have to spend that much time talking about yesterday. Yesterday was very ho-hum. We have to have a little bit of fun today.
Hum-drum, I might even say.
Hum-drum.
Yeah.
Ho-hum-drum.
We actually get to have fun today because baseball was not fun. That's how it works. When baseball's fun, we're boring. When baseball's boring, we're fun.
There you,
you get your fill either way.
Yeah, I like that, actually. That's pretty clever. Couple things real quick. We have a new name of the podcast. You might have noticed. Tell your friends. No longer does it say CBS Sports Fantasy Baseball Today Podcast. Just says Fantasy Baseball Today Podcast. We have removed the artist name from the title. So there's something there.
And did we get bought out?
Yeah, we're now independent. But also, did the same thing with the football podcast, which is now Fantasy Football Today Podcast, and would like you to please go. The voting starts in 2 days, so over the weekend on Sunday, you can vote every single day for us, the Fantasy Football Today podcast on podcastawards.com. Please help us win. It would be great for us. Would be very, very helpful. We are going to tell you about two start pitchers, but first, let's get to the show. Oh, now let's get on with the show.
biggest, we've never heard that before.
Yeah. Biggest fantasy regret of 2016. What is it so far for you guys? Biggest regret, Al?
Yeah, I have to just pick one. The one that comes top of mind is dropping Jackie Bradley in a bunch of leagues, but I was fortunate enough to get him back, and I think it was two. So it could have been an even bigger regret, but I'd rather just have him in all the leagues I drafted him in, which was quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But tough I like one. The idea of you getting him back. That's kind of my rationale for dropping players I like. My biggest regret, I've actually voiced this to Al a few times, and in the podcast for the People League, the 16-team head-to-head categories league, feeling like I had already more than taken care of on-base percentage, I went against my rankings and drafted Colton Wong ahead of Dustin Pedroia very late. And needless to say, I've been struggling to fill second base. And by the way, I've been consistently losing on base percentage because Joey Votto's a punk.
Oh, man.
What were you thinking drafting Votto in an OBP league?
I don't know. Crazy.
Gosh, I really need to do a better job keeping track of the categories I'm winning or losing in those head-to-head categories leagues. Like, I kind of just look at the overall results, and I don't really know what my team is good at. So everybody be smarter than me and understand your team better. It's pretty important. Al, in the same vein as you dropping Jackie Bradley, I dropped Marcell Ozuna in one league and maybe even two. Gave up a little bit too early. I always go back to Desmond Jennings when I see a guy like Marcell Ozuna who, you know, we can look back and say, well, fantasy owners need to learn a lesson here. Don't give up on somebody who, you know, showed some skill, whatever. And then I always like, that's how I kept approaching Desmond Jennings for a while. And that never materialized. But, you know, how legit do you guys think Marcell Ozuna is? And with Jackie Bradley, with Marcell Ozuna, is there a fantasy lesson to be learned here?
Well, okay. I'm going to take the liberty of actually bringing out the legitimeter.
Ooh.
And I'm going to give Ozuna a 6. I still have some doubt. I mean, there's just been so much inconsistency in what has been a brief career and a, you know, career in which he plowed through the minors, you know, even with a brief stint in AAA, actually not so brief stint in AAA last year. So I'm still not confident about who he is, but I'll put him on, you know, the plus side of 5 because I think, you know, the power is probably legit for him.
That's probably a good way to represent it. I don't really think there's much benefit to being like all in on a guy or all out on a guy who, you know, has some potential and obviously we're more on the all in side on Ozuna because he's actually showing that potential right now. I'm to the point with him where, like, if I was the one who claimed him on waivers when he started heating up, or if I was the one who drafted him and maybe in a five outfielder league, I wouldn't be like actively looking to sell high on him because I wouldn't be confident it would be a sell high. I would just be enjoying the ride, but not necessarily thinking I have it made with that spot.
Yeah. All right. So that's Marcell Ozuna, my biggest fantasy regret. Let's get to the show. Oh, I already said that. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with the show. Injuries, news, and notes. Hawk Harrelson, very happy to hear he is just fine, but Hawk Harrelson is only broadcasting away games this year for the Chicago White Sox. A little bit more convenient for him. More importantly for fantasy owners, it's time for a new pitching prospect. Julio Urias will make his major league debut tonight at the Mets, who don't hit lefties very well. Alex Wood was scratched with triceps tightness, but Wood is expected to start on Monday, so that doesn't appear to be a bad one. Urias now, elite prospect, 5 straight scoreless outings in the minors, but he hasn't thrown more than 82 pitches in any start. We're doing a little fill in the blank today. So okay. Tony Starks on Twitter said, fill in the blank, Julio Urias starts blank games for the Dodgers this year.
I'll go 15 on that. And I had seen that he's also going to spend some time in the bullpen, I would assume, to preserve innings and in pitch count.
Mm-hmm.
So 15 seems like a fair number.
I'm going to go with 12 because of that revelation of him pitching, splitting some time in the bullpen and the rotation. And, you know, I'm kind of starting to get cold feet with him the more I read about the Dodgers' plans for him, because I do think he's probably the biggest prospect he's going to get called up, the most exciting prospect, certainly a must-add. But they have been so careful with him throughout his minor league career, and the fact that they're already saying they're not just going to turn him loose in the rotation makes me think they could handle him much like the Rockies did with John Gray down the stretch last year, where it was 4 and 5 inning starts, never really going deep enough for you to... I mean, John Gray didn't pitch well, at least at home, so you didn't really want to use him, but you couldn't have used him even if he was consistently pitching well. So I don't think it's a certainty that Urias is going to be worth holding on to all season, but I do want to see it play out, of course.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is the Rockies were terrible, the Dodgers are going to be in contention, and teams have a tendency to go against what they claim they were going to do, like the Mets last year, understandably, if they have to win. So, you know, you call them must-add. We had an email from CJ, should I drop Adam Conley for Julio Urias? And just tell us where you guys are. Like, first answer that and what you're thinking. Like, how desperate, how eager are you to add Julio Urias right now?
I can't imagine a roster where I wouldn't have somebody bad enough to drop to pick up Urias. And I would rank him ahead of Conley. Yeah, what was interesting is I was having this debate yesterday with myself, because that's how I roll, about where exactly to rank him. And I was right in that 45 range. But, and the two pitchers in question, whether I should rank him ahead or behind, were Jason Hamill and Chris Tillman. And I decided... You know what? I want to make sure everybody knows out there they should really pick him up however they can. So I went ahead and put him ahead of those two.
Okay.
And then I got trade offers for those exact two pitchers, people asking for those pitchers in exchange for Urias. And I don't think I'm going to take them because of what I just said earlier. That's how I knew I was getting cold feet.
Oh, wait. You're not gonna take those you're not gonna take Hamill?
I'm not going to give up Hamill or okay. Tillman for Urias.
Al, how about you? Where are you on Urias?
I've got him ranked a lot lower, although Heath has him lower yet. I've got him 72nd. Heath's got him 83rd. So I've actually got him just behind Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, and John Lackey. So as far as those two other prospects, I just think, you know, when they're up, they're going to be starting. I think that they probably will be about as good as Urias. And, you know, in terms of, you know, somebody who's in a rotation, who will stay in a rotation, and I think will, you know, be about similar value. That's, you know, I've got Lackey there. So, yeah, I probably wouldn't drop Conley. I guess it depends. If it's a shallow league, I certainly would do that. But in a deeper league, I'd want to keep Conley around. And as Scott just said a couple minutes ago, there almost certainly would be somebody in that format who would be much more droppable than Adam Conley.
Well, maybe. So where do you have Conley ranked? Because maybe I just have Conley. Well, you have, I have 64th, you have 56.
I'm the high guy on Conley at 56, yeah.
Boy, you have Conley ahead of Teron.
Yeah, and I actually thought about that last night, and I didn't move Teron further up because of run support.
So you just may be higher on Conley. I look at the rosters where I still have Conley, and Conley's like barely hanging on to that roster spot, so it's not too difficult for me to
but
make
Scott,
that exchange.
Scott, let me ask you about Urias, because if you think he's going to make 12 starts, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just a guess. I understand that. You're talking upside here. And we've seen Berríos come up and be bad. We've seen Minaya come up and be bad. And
oh, he's better than them, I think.
All right. Well, this
reminds me most of Jose Fernandez making the Marlins out of spring training a few years ago as a 20-year-old. That's the kind of excitement I think should be attached to this. Although the Dodgers are doing best to pour cold water. They do their best to pour cold water on it.
I just seem like they really have to turn him loose a little bit for him to be a top 50 pitcher. Just because of innings.
Well, yeah. I approach rankings in terms of how desirable the player is, not in terms of how I think he's going to rank.
Okay. Understandable. So
I guess that was a confusing way of putting it. No,
it makes sense.
I don't treat it in this really like objective. The numbers have to match up exactly with where I position him in the rankings, sort of thing.
Okay. All right. So Dustin Pedroia was back in the Boston lineup. Jackie Bradley Jr.'s hitting streak ended at 29 games. You move him to leadoff for one game. You sit Mookie Betts, and Jackie Bradley Jr. can't get a hit. Rougned Odor's suspension was reduced to 7 games. He will start serving that today. Mike Moustakas out for the season with a torn ACL. React, Al Melchior.
Bummer.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, not that there's anything really that is fortunate about the situation, but from a fantasy perspective, third base is pretty deep. It's kind of weird this year how the typical deep positions of first base and outfield are so dreadful, and second, short, and third are, you know, you in a situation like this where you lose somebody good, you actually have options to replace a player on waivers or with a really cheap trade.
Danny Valencia and Jake Lamb are owned in 70% and 67% of our leagues, respectively. Who would you guys rather have, Valencia or Lamb?
I'd rather have Valencia, which probably shouldn't come as a surprise, although with David Peralta out, Jake Lamb has been playing more consistently. They haven't faced many left-handers, but
yeah.
I think the one they faced, he started against, so maybe that tells us something.
All right.
Yeah, I would give Lamb the edge there, even though, look, if I were confident that Lamb was going to play every day, it would be a no-brainer, but it's close to a coin flip because I do think Valencia gets the edge in terms of playing time. But what we're seeing from Lamb this year with the power breakout, I think it does make him better, you know, pound for pound than Valencia.
All right, you know, I was remembering like a week ago that the Diamondbacks actually have faced 3 left-handers in their last 4 games, and Lamb started against one of them. So, not so encouraging.
Yeah, that's okay. Interesting because I must have done exactly the same thing you did, Scott, because I had that same stat in my head of facing the one left-hander.
Yeah.
And I thought that was maybe 1 or 2 days ago I looked, but obviously time flies when you're ranking players.
All right, some other third baseman. You got Brandon Drury in that discussion as well. You want to go a little bit deeper, less than 50% owned. David Wright, Trevor Plouffe, Martin Prado, Eduardo Nunez, Javier Baez, Yunel Escobar, Yanhervis Solarte, Howie Kendrick, Tyler White, Jose Ramirez, Derek Dietrich. Any names that really jump out at you there, guys?
See, that kind of it speaks to what I was saying a moment ago. Lots of names that jump out to me from that list. Yeah, I like Dietrich. I think Solarte would be a good replacement. I'm not sure I remember all the names you called off, but it seemed like there were 4 or 5. Like, oh, yeah, that guy. No, that guy.
Yeah.
And Drury was one that stood out because not only because I think he'd be a good third base replacement, but he is now eligible at second base.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Fun.
All right,
it's very
then.
Fun.
So here's the rest of what you need to know. Bryce Harper homered, hooray. Troy Tulowitzki missed yesterday's game with quad soreness. Stanton was out again with side soreness. Christian Yelich could be back any day, even today. Chris Sale is going to have his Sunday start pushed back to Monday. Sorry, you Sale owners who were hoping for that second start. Ryan Braun left yesterday's game during the rain delay for precautionary reasons. So I'm sure you guys saw this. I sent out two notes in our podcast leagues, both of which I'm a Ryan Braun owner. I said, same exact thing. Want Braun? ? Make me an offer. And so far, I think I've gotten Evan Longoria for Ryan Braun.
Well, that's the thing, Adam. You made it so, like, at least give us some kind of idea what you're looking for in return, or you're wasting your time and everyone else's.
We'll see. I'm obviously not going to just take Evan Longoria, but anybody who is in those leagues knows how I feel about Ryan Braun, so I don't expect to get great value. In my other league that I own Ryan Braun, I am going to ask for the moon. I am going to offer him for Giancarlo Stanton. I am going to try to get something really, really good for Ryan Braun when people don't know how scared I am of losing him for a long time.
Would you take a trade, a 2-for-1 for Braun? Potentially?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. I might have to get in on this.
Yeah. Okay. It's got to be good players though.
Well,
not Jared Eichel.
Not as good as Braun because I'm giving you two of them.
Yes.
That's how a 2-for-1 works.
I understand. Boston failed to score at least 8 runs at home for the 5th time in their last 15 home games. That is incredible and speaks to John Gray's performance, who we'll talk about. Clay Buchholz may be removed from the Boston rotation. We know Eduardo Rodriguez is close to coming back. You saw Ken Giles get a save yesterday. Will Harris, Luke Gregerson, and Giles had all pitched 2 days in a row. Giles ended up pitching his 3rd straight game. Jean Segura returned to the lineup. Leonis Martin could be back in a few days, as Drubal Cabrera day-to-day with a back injury. Logan Forsyth hoping to return in mid-June. Matt Adams left with back tightness. So later on in the show, we're going to look at basically all of the pitchers from yesterday. Jose Fernandez was great. Sabathia we'll talk about. 25% owned. McCullers with 6 walks and 10 strikeouts. Garrett Cole, Patrick Corbin, Drew Smiley, Kevin Gausman, they disappointed. George Springer had a 2-homer game. And of course, the 2-star pitchers in week 9. Most added list if we have time. But first, let's do some rest of season rankings. Guys, who would you rather own? Justin Upton or Gregory Polanco rest of season?
Polanco.
And I know, well, this is just going to solidify my reputation as a Polanco hater, even though I keep moving him up.
Hater.
But I just think Upton could break out at any time and be Justin Upton.
But when? When will it be? I don't even disagree. I'm just
June 3rd.
Stirring the pot.
June 3rd?
Okay. Yeah. I love that, by the way, when somebody asks, when is so-and-so going to start doing this? They ask that on Twitter. And
yeah.
I always
plate appearance of next Thursday's game against.
Like, how could I possibly know that? What are you honestly looking for in that response? 8:43
p.m. Eastern on Wednesday.
I love the crystal balls, though, that they do give us. You know, when you start here at CBS, it's a CBSSports.com crystal ball. It's got the logo right on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many Big Bang Theory seasons will there be? It's all about CBS questions. Well, here's something about Upton. So right now, through 43 games, Upton's batting .223 with 2 home runs. I looked back at last year. In June, you know, early June to early August, he had a 51-game stretch where he batted .187 with 6 home runs, and then he finished the season, the last 48 games after that horrible stretch, 51 games with a .587 OPS. After that, the last 48 games, he had an .871 OPS. So obviously we've seen this from him throughout his career, even a slump this bad. I guess what I want to know about Upton, though, is you can look back at it last year. He had his lowest batting average since 2008, and he can't blame it on Petco because he was much better at Petco than he was on the road. Are we seeing some real slippage from Justin Upton at this point in his career?
I don't look at it that way, and it's sort of reminiscent of the discussions that Heath and I had about Ian Desmond before the season started, and Heath kind of looked at the bigger picture and saw decline, and you know, I saw that, you know, in the second half last year that there was a bounce back and kind of put that in the context of, you know, what he had done a couple years before.
And who was right? Who
so
was
far
right?
Me.
I knew you weren't going to go there, so I did it for you.
Thank you. Scott is my public relations
ego.
specialist here.
He's your hype man.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Bring it more up to date. but so, you know, with Upton, again, you know, if, I guess maybe now taking more of the Heath role, if you look at the bigger picture, I don't really see slippage. You know, I see, you know, that the performance is obviously terrible, but you know, underneath that, he's kind of doing Justin Upton things. And I just, you know, and it's kind of the same thing with Joey Votto for the most part. And I just think in cases like that, both hitters who have been inconsistent, but you know, both hitters who look like they're just due to break out at any time.
Gotcha. So next up, who would you rather have rest of season? Aledmys Diaz or Trevor Story, who is slumping a little bit right now? Aledmys Diaz or Trevor Story?
Depends on the format. I have Story one spot ahead of Diaz and Roto, and Diaz one spot ahead of Story in head-to-head points, and that's entirely because of strikeout rate. It matters in one of those formats, and it doesn't in the other.
So in a points format, it's really a totally different story.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Thank you for the courtesy chuckle.
I promised the listeners at the top we were going to have fun today. And
I liked it. I'm all about it. So, Al, how about you?
I've got Story ahead, just barely ahead of Diaz in both formats. So it just really comes down to the length of the minor league track record for Story that I actually think there's some untapped stolen base potential that we could still see. And while nobody was going to buy into the power we saw in week one, that now if you look at where Story is right now, I mean, that it seems perfectly reasonable given what he achieved in the minors.
I like that Story, who's the number four shortstop in both formats right now, hasn't had a great, like an eye-popping May. He's only has 3 home runs, but 7 doubles and 1 triple, you know, that helps. And 283 batting average in May.
I actually find the doubles sort of reassuring because early on he wasn't hitting any doubles. It was only homers. And, you know, so I think it just shows that he doesn't have to be an all or nothing player. He can provide power and do it while being a more sort of balanced hitter.
Which, by the way, he also showed in the minor 70 total extra base hits last year, and it was a 40-20-10 breakdown.
Okay, this one made me laugh because one of you actually, well, you'll see. Who would you have rest of season, Noah Syndergaard or Corey Kluber?
I just changed that last night.
Oh, you did? Okay, so that's what I thought. I thought both of you had this one wrong, but now only one of you has it wrong.
Really? I have Syndergaard ahead.
Exactly. Now.
Oh.
Oh, no, wait. Oh, you do.
No, we both have Syndergaard ahead now.
I'm sorry. Okay, so one of you. All right, I got confused.
I was wrong, and now I'm right.
Now you're right. Okay, I thought we were going to have a little debate about this, because Al originally had Kluber one spot ahead of Syndergaard, but now they are swapped.
I think I actually had him 3 spots ahead.
Oh, 3. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I dropped him down a bit.
Okay.
Still number 9, you know, so still an ace, but just the persistence of the issues with runners on base. I don't know if it's legit or not, but the fact that I just even have doubt about that means I can't trust him quite as much as the 8 pitchers I have ahead of him.
Well, then, that settles that. Syndergaard over Kluber. Now, it is interesting that you guys have Syndergaard 8th.
As opposed to what, 4th?
Yeah, I mean, 3rd? I'm not disagreeing. I just think it's interesting. As opposed to 3rd or 4th.
This is another debate I've had with myself, because I do think, in terms of upside, that's probably the case. I just worry about Syndergaard more than anyone else in this top 10, what happens in August and September when the innings start to exceed 200.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, also, I mean, I know that, you know, the velocity and his ability to miss bats is you know, maybe unmatched by anybody, even Kershaw. But I think sometimes we give short shrift to, you know, some of these other guys. Now, as I'm looking at these rankings, I think maybe I do need to give some thought to moving Scherzer out of the 2 spot. But I've been the high guy on Madison Bumgarner since, you know, last winter. And he's doing pretty much what I thought he might do this year. I mean, we're seeing a big uptick in strikeouts. And if he just gets the control to where it normally is, I think he's fully deserving of being number 2 or number 3.
Oh, he's having, I guess it's kind of a quiet, amazing year.
Yeah, he's having a great year. And I don't think we're talking enough about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about yesterday's starting pitchers. I was going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly, but it just didn't really work, so I had to do the great, the good, and the bad. There were really no ugly starts from relevant starting pitchers yesterday.
It's always hard for me to distinguish bad from ugly.
You know yeah. ugly when you see it.
Like, really?
The closest to ugly, I think, was Drew Smiley. But, you know, six innings, five runs, one walk, four strikeouts. It's not ugly. It's just bad. Maybe Corbin. Well, here we go. The great, the good, and the bad. The great from yesterday. He was amazing yesterday. Seven innings, 12 strikeouts at the Rays. Jose Fernandez, three earned runs allowed in his last four starts, and he's had the walks under control the last two starts. So interesting. Don Mattingly is really letting him go. Look at the pitch count in the last four starts for Jose Fernandez. 110, 117, 99, and 111.
I like it.
I love it.
I like it.
I want some more of it, but.
Love it, yes.
I don't know. That does scare me a little bit. I'd like it to be more like 105 pitches instead of 110 every time.
You're not his agent, Adam.
I know, and I'm not his fantasy owner, unfortunately, but if I were, I'm a big whip.
I might have some concerns if it was a long-term keeper league, and obviously I was invested in this guy for a long time, but even then, I mean, pretty much in all those formats, he's going to price himself out of ownership at some point. So, and certainly that's true for the Marlins. So I get it. I get why this isn't Mark Pryor in 2003. Gosh, how long ago was that? 2003, throwing 130 pitches, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They seem like reasonable numbers. And the only reason I wince maybe even a little bit is just, you know, because of him coming off of TJ. But the other thing is just that early on, he was having a lot of long, stressful innings, particularly early in the game. I don't know if any of these last four starts, if that was the case. I'm not sure. He certainly has, you know, been more efficient and consistent within a start lately. So maybe there haven't been a lot of stressful innings in these four starts, and in which case, those pitch counts don't worry me at all.
Hey, guys, how about the CNC Strikeout Factory? CC Sabathia, 25% owned. I can't believe I was able to claim him in the For the People 16-team league.
Not and owned. Two starts yeah. next week.
Wow. I didn't know he was unowned.
He was on waivers. You know, that's usually one of those leagues where you just get to pick somebody up freely, but I had to sit through the waivers process.
I'm so used to tuning his name out, I think, when I see him, it appear in the transactions, these last three starts for Sabathia, combined one earned run, a combined five hits in the last two, and then more than a strikeout per inning during this three start stretch. So there's definitely something happening here. And I think there's a pretty clear explanation, actually, which is always welcome. He's throwing a cutter a lot more this year than ever before, and you look back at some of the stories written by Yankees beat writers in spring trainings, he was working a lot with the king of the cutter, Mariano Rivera, on the backfields. Has also been working with Andy Pettit for a couple years now on developing that pitch, and it may be what brings Sabathia back to relevance.
Well, I'll say this. Yesterday, he was locating really well. And I still think he's the kind of pitcher, and he was throwing 91, which is pretty good for him, but I still think he's the kind of pitcher that if he's not locating, he's going to get Colby Lewis'd.
No, it's true.
And the two starts actually scares me. Like, in a categories league, not a points league, but I'd rather him be a one-star pitcher because I fear implosion with Sabathia, which is why I only was picking him up in a 16-team league yesterday.
Well, I'm sort of glad to hear you say that because I had a dilemma yesterday in scoping out two-star pitchers for next week. But before I get to that, there's just a burning question I have, and this is the time to ask it. I don't get your For the People League team name.
Oh, CC and Schmidt?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's CC as in CC Sabathia. My logo is CC Sabathia. And now I own Sabathia. Oh, I didn't even realize that. Terrific.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Full circle.
And Schmidt, the CC and Schmidt are a couple. And Scott, listen, I'm not caught up on season five. So I don't know if they are a couple right now. But at one point in New Girl, they were a couple. And we've talked a lot about
that. That's
New
why
Girl.
I don't know.
Yeah. So
thank you for clearing that up.
Oh, see, look, I can't do it. I can't trust Sabathia next week at Toronto and at Baltimore.
So I went ahead and in two leagues picked up Ivan Nova, who I think has also been impressive lately, but not in the, you know, quite as obvious a way because it's been without strikeouts. Mm-hmm. But he's been pitching with really good control. being very efficient with his pitches and getting lots of ground balls, which is, you know, not a new thing for him. So I trust that. So, you know, I think it's more of a, you know, Sabathia is more of a risk reward kind of pick where, you know, he could have a much bigger week. But I do fear the implosion potential. I feel Nova is relatively safe. You don't.
Not safe. I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, neither are safe.
Well, he did say relatively, but I can't consider Nova safe in any sense of the word. I kind of like that comparison with Colby Lewis because I think he's a cutter heavy pitcher too. I think, and when he's on, he can have dominant starts in terms of not allowing base runners and getting strikeouts, and yeah, when he's off, he gets crushed. So I guess it's easy to, you know, just see the positive when Sabathia hasn't gotten crushed yet.
And Lewis's last start was the first time all year he had gone less than six innings. So, you know, that's also something, you know, if you make that comparison, Sabathia could give you a lot of innings.
So now the good, Joe Ross, but still not a lot of strikeouts. Jay Happ, John Gray at Boston. I put Lance McCullers in here. I don't even know how to qualify or I don't know how to classify this start.
I think we should call this kind of start a Burnett.
This could have been the ugly, I guess, but five innings, one hit, one run, six walks, 10 strikeouts against the Orioles.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
And then you
had
Matt Wisler, who delivered a quality start against the Brewers. I thought it'd be better, but six innings, three runs, seven Ks, 61%.
Seven Ks, third straight start.
Yes. Yes.
Like to see that.
How about this for Wisler? Only two non-quality starts this year. They came against St. Louis, which crushes righties, and at Boston, who crush righties. So pretty good. And Mike
I've really come around on Wisler, and I think, you know, matchups and venues, especially the venues, are really key for him.
Because of all the fly balls.
Because of all the fly balls and well, earlier in the season, pitching to contact, I'm not sure he'll continue to get strikeouts. But, you know, it's worked for him so far. I mean, he's got, I don't know what the BABIP is now after this start, but it was, I want to say, around 215, 220 coming in. And that's Chris Young territory. I'm not sure Wisler's quite there, but if he finished 250.
It's funny that you're, I'm not sure Wisler is quite Chris Young, because I feel like everybody hearing that is going to think, well, Chris Young is terrible.
Yeah. But, well, I think that's a misconception. Young has been terrible this year. He was terrible, you know, going back, you know, three, 4 years ago. But the last couple of seasons, Young's been really good when you could pick the right venues for him. And that's how I think you could use Wisler. And the thing is, being in the park he's in the division he's in, unlike with Chris Young, where maybe you're using him every third week, you know, Wisler, you're probably using him at least two out of every 3 weeks.
Well, here's that list of names again. What I want to know is who you would rather have over Julio Urias. Like, who on this list is better than Julio Urias? Joe Ross, yes. Jay Happ, John Gray, Lance McCullers, Matt Wisler, Mike Leake.
Well, I'm definitely going to say McCullers. And, you know, yesterday I advised somebody to drop Joe Ross or Arias, but I think with my newly colded feet, I can't think of a better way to say it.
Now you gotta go. You gotta go Ross. You gotta go Ross,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'll go with Ross too. Just those two though, McCullers and Ross.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Okay, that's fine. But where are you guys right now on Jay Happ? 86% own. 9 quality starts out of 10 starts. He has a 3.20 ERA and just one awful start, 8 earned runs in 2 innings. Other than that, he's been sub 3.
I'll trade him to anybody who'll take him. Oh,
really?
Oh, sorry, Adam.
I'm completely befuddled on Jay Happ because I thought I knew what made him good with Pittsburgh last year, and that's been gone all year, and yet he's gone 7 or more innings in 6 of 10 starts and only had the one non-quality start, as you said, Adam. So just it's been going on, him performing at this level has been going on long enough now that while I still do see him as a sell high to some degree, it would have to be pretty high for me to part with him.
Now the bad from yesterday, Garrett Cole, only one unearned run in 5 innings, but 7 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. He said he just didn't have his good stuff. Patrick Corbin, I hate you. Drew Smyly. This was surprising to me. I really thought he'd pitch better against the Marlins. He's in a tough stretch right now. and Kevin Gossman. So Cole, Corbin, Smiley, and Gossman. Any red flags here?
Oh, big one with Corbin. They're really the only one. In fact, I was surprised that Smiley's stats, even after that start yesterday, are still pretty good. So I think Smiley's going to be fine.
11 homers, though, in 62 innings.
Yeah, I mean, that's you maybe not quite to that degree, but when you draft Drew Smiley, I mean, you know that that's part of what you're going to get with him.
Yeah.
And I think he can compensate for it. But Corbin, you know, also giving up a lot of home runs. And I think I may have said this on the podcast recently, but for a while I was kind of looking at him as somebody, oh, well, you can start him on the road because he's given up almost all of his home runs at home. Well, but he's not very good against righties, so you can't really start him against lineups that, you know, don't have a lot of lefties. Well, that leaves pretty much no weeks where I can start Patrick Corbin.
Well, he had a 2.01 road ERA entering yesterday's start. And it could have been better, but his bullpen kind of let him down, let in some inherited runs. But look, you just shouldn't be 76% owned if that's what he is, a guy you can only start on the road at best.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, 76 isn't as high as it sounds. I feel like there's this gap between kind of 75% and 30% where very few players are owned. So he's on the bottom end of players who are owned.
You know who's owned in that gap? Two star pitchers who get dropped.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about across positions too, not just even pitchers. Some way that the league sizes break down creates this gap in ownership percentage. But I did want to touch on in the last list John Gray real quick because he's only 42% owned, and I get why. I mean, his ERA for the year is near 6 because of handful of just awful starts. But you know, this was at Boston, who is a scary, scary matchup for anybody, and he dominated again. Really, only the one road start where he hasn't. So I think he's getting to the point of being must-own. So much strikeout potential, so much upside. Obviously, you got to be wary of the Coors effect when he's at home, but
must-own. I mean, I don't have any faith in starting him at home, though.
Well, I guess must-own if you're, you know, factoring in some of the shallower leagues that I don't really play in. Maybe it's maybe an overstatement, but certainly more than 42%. I would drop Patrick Corbin for him at his 76%.
All right, there are only 4 hitters from yesterday that I wanted to talk about. Let's get through these here. But first, I want to tell you about FanDuel. If you weren't able to pick up Julio Urías, you can pick him up in FanDuel. He's only $6,900. It's pretty cheap. Facing a Mets team that does not hit lefties well, you could do worse, or you could have Felix, Scherzer, Hamels, DeGrom, etc. How fun is FanDuel? So many different combinations you can choose from, different lineups you can create. If you're torn, make another lineup. That's all you have to do. Contests start at just $1, so not a big commitment. And you can win real money while doing what you love, and that's playing fantasy sports, playing fantasy baseball. And look, it's not just fantasy baseball. We love it for fantasy football, fantasy basketball, etc. Here's a chance to play for free, basically. Enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel is going to automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone, enter our promo code. It's home run. That's one word, home run, with no spaces. You get to play up to $10 and get that money back for additional play if you don't win a cash prize. So the hitters I wanted to talk about, George Springer, who is, believe it or not, number 13 in points, number 15 in Roto. He's actually better in points so far this year, and I think it's because he's only stolen 3 bases in 9 attempts. And then some guys who are owned in less than 20% of leagues. But you guys want to give your thoughts on Springer, who had 2 home runs yesterday?
Well, yeah, I don't feel like there's that much to say about Springer. Maybe, like you said, the stolen base is certainly disappointing. I think overall, maybe a little bit of disappointment, but you know, as he showed in this game, I mean, I don't think it would take him long to get to where we all hoped and expected he would be. But yeah, I do think the other three are interesting. You know, with Valbuena, I just don't.
Oh wait, Al, wait, I didn't say the other three. So they are. Luis Valbuena.
I'm a mind reader.
Yeah, Luis Valbuena, Brandon Guyer, and Hyunsoo Kim. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll just hit on each one real quick. So Valbuena, I just don't trust the playing time is going to be there long term with all the options that the Astros have with Colin Moran, who hasn't played much and hasn't hit. But, you know, he's in the mix there. Alex Bregman eventually, I think, could be their third baseman. That you could move Tyler White over there. So I think Valbuena's days are, you know, are numbered. And Guyer and Kim need to be owned in more leagues. I mean, Kim's just owned in 4%, so that's a really low bar for him to clear. But starting to get a little bit more playing time. Joey Rickard isn't really producing much. So I could see Kim getting more playing time at this point. I mean, he's certainly worth a gamble in AL only, and he seems like he's still pretty widely available in those formats. And Guyer at 70%, I think, is really super low.
17%, yeah.
Not only is he playing against righties, he's performing against them, including a home run off Jose Fernandez, who was otherwise untouchable yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. How about Guyer or Brandon Drury?
Probably still Drury, but the fact that I have to hedge.
Yep.
Says something.
That's where I'm at as well.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. You know, one thing interesting about the Hyun-Soo Kim, Joey Rickard thing is if Rickard stops playing, I think that puts Machado back at leadoff. I don't think it's a big deal, really, but I'd like to see him. If he's going to lead off, I'd like to see him steal some more bases, compensate for the lack of RBIs that he, or the decrease in RBIs that he might get. So we'll see what happens there. Let's do some fill in the blank from the listeners. From B. Morella, going forward, Lance McCullers is a top blank pitcher.
I have him 40th, so I'll say 40, but that's I'd feel safer with 45 or 50.
I'm 52, so I don't feel great about bumping him up to 50. So I'll say he's in the top 52.
All right, so that's I know we're gonna do some fill in the blank, but that's kind of interesting. A little bit low on McCullers, given how great he was last year. I don't know.
I mean, I could see room to move him up. Guys that I have ahead of him. Matt Moore is on the downslope. I've dropped him to 49. I've dropped Jordan Zimmermann to 48.
That's surprising.
I'm surprised that people are so big on Zimmermann, because I feel like aside from the ERA, he's just not really helping that much.
Was winning games.
He's winning games, right? Yeah, but
I mean, I understand. Like, win loss record is hard to predict, and certainly not indicative of ability. But there does seem to be some correlation in terms of both how deep a player pitches into games and how much run support he gets.
And I don't doubt that he can pitch deep into games.
Yeah. So I think that's a big part of the equation. I mean, Smiley's 2-6. You were saying before his numbers don't look bad. Well, he's 2-6. Not getting much run support and hasn't been pitching deep into games since those first three or four starts. So I do think he has some responsibility in that, and that drives down his value to some degree.
Next up, let's fill in the blank from Ryan. Michael Wacha is Yoko Ono and will break up the band in 2000 blank.
Who's the band? Us?
Yeah, we're the band.
I think we got, definitely an Abbey Road left in us here.
I thought it was really funny. People really liked the discussion yesterday, so good job having a nice civil discussion about how you do your rankings and such.
I will say 2000 never.
2000 never. Perfect. Merritt Burns, the most disappointing hitter is blank, and the most disappointing pitcher is blank.
Oh, you know how much we love these questions that ask us to pick a singular player out of all in existence.
Matt Harvey is the pitcher.
Okay, yeah, that's easily done.
I'm probably not going to top that, yeah.
Justin Upton?
I'll go Brian Dozier, because I actually don't believe in a bounce back for him.
Okay. I mean, Justin Upton, I think, would have to be just in terms of, not even considering the bounce back potential.
Jason Hayward too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's kind of like Upton, where that just kind of is par for the course for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I could come up with a better one, but probably not in a time.
I got one. Carlos Correa.
Nah. I mean, I thought he'd be better to this point, but
I know he hasn't been Upton bad, but he was also a first round pick.
Yeah.
Who's been the most disappointing first round pick?
Oh, Russell Martin.
Terrible.
Can't top that.
But who's been the most disappointing first round pick?
You
got Stanton, you got Correa. I don't know if McCutcheon was a first round pick, but he was around there.
Yeah, I think he was on average, and that's who I'm leaning toward.
I would go with Stanton or Correa over McCutcheon. Yeah, actually, I'll go with Stanton. Not, and again, not that I have any worries about him going forward, but
yeah, yeah. I feel pretty good about the first round crop. There hasn't been a huge injury. There have been a lot of first rounders who've actually exceeded expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been good. All right, Jeff says Trevor Story will hit blank home runs for the year. I believe he has 14 right now. How many home runs for Story?
I wish I could remember what I said like in week one or two when we were asking this question. You know, I think I said something like 28, and that sounds about right still, so I'll stick with that.
I think I was around there too. Like, no, maybe I said 30, 31, but you know, that's still in the ballpark. We're on the same wavelength. No Yoko Ono.
Well, I don't like that. Only 14 more home runs the rest of the season. That scares me.
Well, he's hitting all those doubles, Adam.
Okay.
How do you like his May? Because that's only, what, an 18-homer pace for a full season?
I don't love his May.
You've been satisfied, haven't you?
Not. Yeah, he's been okay, sure.
Are you not entertained?
I am.
emotionless.
From Steven. The contending team who will most likely trade for an upgrade at closer is blank.
I thought about this. What can
maybe
we do?
Maybe the Rangers?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
I've thought about this. I've thought about how we can get Hector Neris in the closer role for the Phillies. Because I think he might be the new Ken Giles, and I mean that in a good way. but you got to find a team who would consider Jamar Gomez an upgrade at closer.
Yeah, kind of
well,
looking.
Not necessarily, maybe setup man.
Yeah, looking at the teams, you know, that look to be contenders. I think the Rangers is a great one. I could see the Mariners too.
All right, last one from Brent. If I could only eat three foods for the rest of my life, I choose blank.
Peanut butter, obviously. Then it gets a little more difficult after that.
Three foods for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I'm going to go with...
Belvita would be up there just because it's so, like... You don't want anything too rich, you know? I'm kind of thinking strategically here. I'm not going with my favorite foods necessarily, just ones that I feel like I could eat over and over again.
Yeah.
Peanut butter.
That's Belvita with a B, by the
right,
way,
not Velveeta,
just to be clear.
That was just falls just outside the top three. So, yeah, peanut butter, seven-layer dip, and Lenny and Larry's Ultimate Cookies, or Complete Cookies.
Mm. I went much more generic. I went pizza, burritos, and just like grilled chicken. I just love grilled chicken.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking big enough when I said seven-layer dip. You put the seven-layer dip in, and you get the whole burrito.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so much food. I love barbecued pulled pork. That's my favorite meal and all the sides. I like gyros a lot. But now I think I'm getting into Rich City because of the tzatziki sauce. I just think that would wear on me after a while. But, I like the gyro or gyro.
Gyro.
Depending
gyro.
On your.
Okay, you know. let's do two star pitchers. And we'll finish off with a few emails here as well. So, taking a look at some of the studs, always looking for the at Colorado to see if there's going to be even a question.
Well, while you're looking, while you're scanning for that, I'm just happy to say that it seems like every week for like the last 5 weeks, I've said, not very many good options on waivers. Well, there's a lot of good options on waivers, or at least interesting options on waivers this week.
Let me just start with Marco Estrada. He's got the Yankees at home and at Boston, which is scary. Would you start Estrada?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. How about Carlos Martinez at Milwaukee and home against San Francisco?
I've already gotten questions about this one. I'm really right on the borderline with this one. But I'd say you're going to make me lean. I'll lean sit.
I'm leaning start. Caution to the wind.
Carlos Martinez. All right, how about Iwakuma? He gets San Diego at home, and he's at Texas.
Have points league only.
I'll start him, but that's a dilemma for me in some leagues. And I'm not entirely sure which way I'm going, but he's startable.
Here are four pitchers who might be available in 10-team leagues. Josh Tomlin, Texas and Kansas City at home. Kevin Gausman, Boston and the Yankees at home. Nathan Carnes, San Diego and at Texas, and Scott Kazmir at the Cubs and home against Atlanta. Who would you want to start out of that group? How many of them? Tomlin, Gossman, Carnes, Kazmir.
The only one I'm probably balking on is Kazmir. I know the last start was very impressive, but could see that falling apart against the Cubs. I know he's got the Braves.
He's got the Braves, yeah. But I think that neutralizes it.
Yeah, I just again with so many options, I'd not take the risk with Kazmir.
Okay. How about Matt Whistler? Whistler, you talked about the ballparks. Yep. Home against San Francisco at the Dodgers.
I think at the Dodgers is one of the worst possible situations for Whistler. Heath and I were talking about this yesterday. So I'd go no there.
I'm going yes.
The Dodgers really aren't hitting that well, though. Are they?
No. I mean, it's more of a venue thing than a matchups thing. But I think the Dodgers are, you know, they're enough potentially dangerous bats in the lineup that I fear implosion.
Okay. Now, look, we always have to say that in points leagues, it's really hard to get negative points. So two-star pitchers make sense over one-star pitchers. Not always. You never want to see like a one-star Cole Hamels or whoever for a two-star Whistler. But I think we're probably thinking more like rotisserie or categories leagues with these guys and what they're going to do to your ratios. Those are harder decisions.
Well, I'm even going to say yes to Whistler in a ratios situation because even if he does get burned by home runs, which certainly no guarantee. I mean, home runs three is a lot, you know? So if it's one instead, it's still a good ERA. He's going to help in whip, I think, no matter what. So I'll take my chances on ERA for the sake of the whip.
All right, Al. Why don't you take over? Who do you like?
All right, let me just make sure we didn't miss anybody. We hit pretty much, like you said, the kind of the shallower league options. Matt Andrees at KC at Minnesota. I like those matchups.
I'm not convinced.
Lineup is just decimated right now.
Al, I'm not convinced that Blake Snell doesn't come up soon. Like,
yeah, I actually did think about that.
For the record, I dropped Andrees for Sabathia, and he's still 60% owned, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah. So, well, I like him, you know, among the better options. I'd say somebody I like even more is Jeremy Hellickson, although the matchups aren't quite as good. He's got the Nationals and then the Brewers at home. But pretty interesting what Hellickson's done in the last month or so. Changeup's been really, really effective. Seems to have significantly altered his release point. So I'd be willing to give Hellickson a whirl. I already mentioned Ivan Nova, who's widely, widely available, 22% owned. And it's at Toronto, at Baltimore, but he faced Toronto the last time. Didn't do great, but did well enough that if he replicates that in a two-start week, I think he'll pay off. Sabathia is definitely in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Duffy, two bad starts in a row, but he's got at Oakland versus the Rays at home. I mean, I really like those matchups.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know if we mentioned John Gray. I probably wouldn't start Gray, but he does have a start at the Padres.
Oh, that might make it for you. No, that I mean, didn't he already face the Padres and have an unbelievable start?
He had 11 strikeouts, I believe.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati's the other one. It's at home, but.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. I think that that lineup has enough power that it could be a risky week for Gray. And I know I said yesterday that I was sort of underwhelmed with Junior Guerra against the Braves. And he's got the Cardinals, so I probably lean no on Guerra, but especially in deeper leagues, I would start him.
It's my turn to rank the two-star pitchers for the site this week, right?
It's all yours.
Yeah. No, I'm just you came in more prepared, so I got like, is it not my turn?
Well, I write about these guys in the regular pitching column.
Oh, yeah,
too,
that's
so,
true. There are two pitching columns every week now, just a straight up two-star pitcher rank and. In a more nuanced version for Al. Nuanced is one of my new favorite words. It's up there with non-zero.
I hate non-zero. I hate non-zero. it needs to be eliminated. The next time Heath says non-zero on this podcast, I'm going to jump down his throat. I hate
Why
non-zero.
Do you hate non-zero? I love words that there's no real substitute for them.
It's such a cop-out. There's a better than a non-zero. Like, shut up. I hate non-zero.
I think you're considering the source here, because it can be said in a way that sounds dismissive and elitist. And maybe he has a tendency to make it sound that way. Maybe. I'm not saying for sure. That's up to...
No, that wasn't what I was going for. I just think it's like a... I don't like it when we use it in analysis because it's so obvious. Like, of course there's a non-zero chance of this happening. Like, it's just too obvious to me.
Okay. All right. No, yeah. That's fair.
So you use it in your own damn time. Go ahead, Scott. You can weigh in on the two Stark guys.
I just think it's fun to say. Non-zero.
Fine,
I don't think Chen's a two-star pitcher, Adam.
Who did I say?
You said he could weigh in.
Oh, he could weigh in. Actually, would you like... Al, that wasn't as good. But would you would you weigh in on Ruby De La Rosa, Houston at home at the Cubs?
Yeah, I did skip that.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I want to apply the context that maybe Al is, where, okay, there's more two-start options, so I'm going to be more selective about which ones I start and which ones I don't, because you still have to compete with the number of starts your opponent has, and if there are more two-start pitchers everywhere, that's just you're going to need more starts. I like De La Rosa enough to start him in a two-start week. The question would be, can I afford to roster him? Because he's off that list for me in most of my mixed leagues still, but he's right on the verge. So if I was looking for another two-star pitcher, yeah, he'd be one I'd look at. I like the Houston matchup for all the strikeouts. He's obviously been doing well with those.
Okay. Anything else, or shall we go to the emails?
Emails!
Cool, let's do it. And if you want fantasy DF advice, you listen to our Daily Fantasy Live podcast. Matt wants to know if he should drop Justin Upton for Ben Revere.
Nope. Not a chance.
Darcy says, "Dear Norm, Cliff, and Carla."
Cheers.
That's cheers, right?
Were you guys Cheers fans? What a great show.
I was.
Show.
Oh,
oh, what a
come show. On. Could I? What, have you watched it in syndication or something? That's an old show, Adam.
Yeah, it's my brother's. Well, he probably likes Seinfeld more, but my brother is 41. It's Cliff. Cheers is probably his second favorite show. I used to watch it with him. Amazing.
Okay.
Show.
Yeah, that's.
I will say I liked Frasier even better than Cheers. I wonder where the consensus is on that.
Yeah, nobody's going to agree with you, but Frasier's very underrated.
So it's a highly decorated show, right? A lot of Emmys.
Yeah, I think it's more. Oh God. I can't even, I'm sorry to say this. I think it's more appealing to the older crowd.
Well, that's fair. It was on a while ago.
Yeah, it was, but it also just wasn't like a young, fun show. You know,
I have very little knowledge of either of these shows.
But it was good. So. It was very funny. It was very good.
Okay. No, maybe I should check it out.
Okay, so Darcy asks, should I trade Ryan Braun for Giancarlo Stanton, or should I be aiming lower?
Well, you could try to get Giancarlo Stanton.
I'd aim there. You never know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what I would actually give up for Stanton. I would actually give Braun up for.
Well, it's probably going to be lower than what we'd give him up for. I have Braun, I believe, in my top 10 outfielders still. Even with him being in and out of the lineup a little.
He's been probably top 3, I would guess, on a per-game basis. He's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He's so injured, though. Okay, we talked enough about that. Next question, no name here. It says, "Dear Johnny Bench, Yogi Berra, and Mike Piazza."
Who are they?
"With the Astros playing 2 games in NL Parks, when do you think, next week, when do you think Gattis will be a catcher eligible, and where would you rank him when he is catcher eligible?"
Was he have 2 so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Caught both of McHugh's starts, so.
Right.
I would say, and not sure how McHugh's starts line up. Is he 2 start this next week?
Yes.
I don't think,
yes.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Okay, so give him 2 more weeks.
that's what I was going to say, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
By week 10.
Well, for fantasy purposes, by week 11, right?
He'll have it banked. Because he's got to get through week 9 and week 10.
Got it.
And 11, he'll have the 5 and the C next to his name, and we'll all live happily ever after.
Is he going to be your number
5?
3, 5 catcher? 5?
You know, I just said that number.
Last time I looked at this, I think I had him 6th. But yeah, either 5th or 6th.
You know what number he'll be for me?
Yeah, five, actually. I like that. Behind Posey, Lucroy, McCann, and Perez. Five.
You know where he'll be for me? He'll be number non-zero.
Is that okay. So he'll be in your rankings.
Yeah. Specific enough for you? Mark in San Diego has to grade the trade. He says, dear Dinger, Astro, and Baxter.
Well, they're
dogs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were mascots. But no, I don't know who Baxter is.
I'm thinking they're dogs. I don't know who Dinger is. Baxter's from Anchorman. Astro's from the Jetsons.
Yeah, I don't know who Dinger is.
Dinger, I'll see if I can look that up.
All right, go for it. Grade the trade.
Dinger dog.
Give up Bogarts, Yoko Ono, and Sano. So Bogarts, Waka, and Sano for Madison Bumgarner. Still have Machado, Gong, and Story, so that's why he's willing to give up Bogarts. He gives up Bogarts, Waka, and Sano for Bumgarner.
Yeah, there's got to be contextual extra credit here for this to have a chance. Because otherwise, that's definitely too much. Wow, I'm still going to give it a C-. It just seems like, as much as I really like Bumgarner, that seems like an overpay.
Wait, really? But you hate Waka. Waka's droppable.
Yeah, but then you got Bogarts and Sano.
I'm taking this trade.
I was already ruling out Waka.
I'm taking this trade. I don't even think it's like just a barely winning trade. I think it's like a B. Get Madison Bumgarner. Maybe I don't have as much faith in Bogarts as you do.
There we go.
I think he's a fine starter at shortstop. I'm not totally confident he's going to be top five all year. So yeah, maybe that's the difference. By the way, Baxter is the mascot of the Diamondbacks, so I believe this is mascots.
Astro, because Astro is not the Astros mascot. I forget the name of the Astros mascot.
Orbit,
there we go.
I'm just going to Google Dinger the dog and see if that works.
I tried that, Adam.
You did?
Maybe you're a better Googler than I am.
No, you're right. Sorry. Sorry, Scott. Sorry to doubt you. That's it for today's show. Mailbag coming up for Monday. Have a great weekend. Get out there and barbecue. For Al Melchior and Scott White, pizza, burritos, and grilled chicken for the rest of our lives. See you later.